Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. A little more than 47 days ago, we began a journey into the wilderness. We followed Jesus, who was led by the Spirit, into that wild terrain. And there he was tested by Satan. And so following his example, we spent those 40 days of Lent fasting and praying, giving alms, reading and meditating on God's holy word. We did this in order to honestly assess our lives and to confess the ways that we had drifted away from God, where we had fallen short of the glory of God. And we did that we might repent and return. We might reorient our lives to God. Our Lenten journey culminated in this past week, this Holy Week, when we have been on a pilgrimage. We set out last Sunday, gathering on the lawn, waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." But then we came indoors and those cries of Hosanna quickly turned to bloodthirsty cries of "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then Thursday night we gathered in the quiet intimacy of Jesus' last meal with his friends, his disciples. And during that meal, Jesus washed their feet. This act reserved for slaves and servants, Jesus did to show the depth of his love. And he has commanded his followers to do likewise. At that meal with his friends, he gave the gift of himself, his body and blood in the Eucharist. That same food that we receive this morning, the abiding presence of the risen Jesus with us, the holy meal that forms us into Christ's body in the world. Then on Good Friday, we gathered at the foot of the cross. And there we saw the worst that humanity can do, for on the cross hung the Lord of life, the one whose only crime was loving. He loved with a love so strong that it threatened the powers of this world. They feared him. They feared his love. And so they killed him on a tree. They naively thought in doing so, his love would die with him. And then yesterday morning, in the very dark, rainy, early hours of the morning, we gathered in the Sabbath quiet. For Jesus, the eternal Word of God, was dead and in the tomb. It seemed the creation itself held its breath. In the silence that day, it also seemed God was at work. That God was at work bringing life to places forgotten, to places considered beyond God's reach. And so last night we gathered in the dark and the silence. We dared to gather in hope and expectation, kindling a new fire. And from the flames of that fire, the Paschal candle was lighted, showing us Christ, the light of the world, present in the darkness. A light so strong it fights back the darkness. It fights back all despair. Our Holy Week pilgrimage has taken us from that initial joy of Palm Sunday to betrayal and arrest, to denial and abandonment. We've seen Jesus die on the cross and laid in a tomb. But this morning, we find the women going to the tomb. They go to finish what is required. They go to anoint the body of Jesus for his burial. But things at the tomb are not as expected. They arrive and the stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. And two men in dazzling clothes appear and ask them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Now, I have to be honest, in reading this gospel account, I'm a bit surprised. I don't know about you, but I think of Easter morning having some story of great joy and happiness, an appearance of the risen Jesus. That's what I associate with Easter morning. But this story is different. These women come to the tomb and find a surprise. They don't see Jesus. There doesn't seem a lot of rejoicing. In fact, Luke tells us the women are terrified. They bow their faces to the ground. The women go and tell the 11 male apostles what has happened. But the 11 men find these words an idle tale. They don't believe it. Now, the original Greek's a bit stronger than our translation in English of idle tale. The literal Greek translation is the ranting of a person suffering from delirium. They don't just doubt, they discount these women could possibly know what they're talking about. They wonder if the women are ranting, are out of touch with reality, maybe out of their minds. The news that the women bring that morning is beyond comprehension. Peter himself has to go and see what has happened, and he finds it as the women tell him. And Luke tells us he's amazed at what happened. But what we never hear is that exuberant joy, which we might expect on finding the tomb empty, on learning that Jesus is raised from the dead to new life, that he has been set free from the bonds of death, leaving the tomb behind forever. I wonder if that is perhaps because it is difficult for us to know how to celebrate the resurrection. And it might also be true that as we come to this Easter morning, maybe we don't quite feel as happy as we maybe like to on Easter morning. For often there are difficulties and sadnesses in life. This morning, when I read the news before coming to church, I saw that there were several apparently coordinated terrorist attacks in Sri Lanka. The targets included hotels, but also churches where worshippers were celebrating Easter. It was reported by the New York Times that 200 have died and more are injured. And some of the churches that were not attacked, after hearing the news, canceled their Easter services. It is just true that the world is full of violence and hatred and injustice. And so how do we know Easter joy when we hear these stories, when we watch the news? A few years back, there was a post on the Sojourner's blog that sought to answer that very question. It was entitled, "Can We Experience Resurrection in the Wake of Terror?" written by Eric Barreto. The author explored what Easter means and how we can experience the hope and the joy of Easter in the face of the violence in our world. And he reflects that in the events of Holy Week and Easter, we see in Jesus' death the death of all who die unjustly. We see in the death of Jesus all who suffer. Jesus knows firsthand what it is to suffer. Jesus knows the pain of dying a horrible death. Jesus knows what it is to be unjustly accused and punished. Jesus knows what it is like to be betrayed and abandoned. Jesus knows what it is like to die when young, in the prime of life. The death of Jesus defeats the power of death once and for all. Eric Barreto in his post writes, "In Jesus, resurrection is a fulfilled promise. Resurrection is present and tangible and real. I don't mean by this some simple saccharine sentiment. I don't mean that Jesus makes everything okay. But our confession as Christians is that death has already been defeated, that death has no hold upon us, that resurrection is not just something we can experience in the future. Resurrection is for today." Barreto is reminding us of something that is incredibly important, that Easter is not about just this moment or how we feel this morning. Easter's not even about some of the things that we think might be important. It's not so much about the flowers or the music, with all apologies to Juan in the choir. It's not even about the new clothes and celebrating spring, as nice as all those things are. Easter is far more than those things and this morning, even than this day. Easter is also not only something just for the future after we die. Easter is, in fact, about a whole way of life here and now. Easter is about the power of despair and hopelessness being broken. Easter is about the defeat of sin and death once and for all. And Easter is now, this moment, this day, the whole of our lives. Easter is, in fact, about eternity. When we set out on our pilgrimage through this week, I promised that if we walk through these days, we would be changed. Walking with Jesus, we have experienced the power of God's love to transform us, to make us into a new creation. We have seen how God's love sets us free to love. The resurrection of Jesus assures us that God is ever faithful. Just as God did not leave Jesus in death, so God will not leave us in death. Through the waters of baptism, we have died to the life of sin and be raised to eternal life, to the life of the resurrected Jesus. As Paul reminds us in today's epistle, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died, and we share in his victory. Though the women were terrified that Easter morning and bowed their heads to the ground, we do not have to. We can look at the evils of this world squarely and not fear. Death has no hold over us. We will never be separated from the love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we have been set free to love. The power of our human impulses, greed, fear of those different from us, despair, hopelessness, no longer have hold over us. Jesus sets us free so we can die to those impulses and rise to the divine life of resurrection. Jesus sets us free so we can return love for hate, hope for despair, joy for sorrow. So resurrection is far more than a feeling, far more than a moment, far more even than this morning. It is a way of life. It is a call to conversion of heart and spirit. It is our call to be set free from the powers of this world, that we can rise to the life eternal. It is our call as the followers of Jesus to meet this work confident of God's love, that God loves all of us, and we are to love all as Christ loves us. The two dazzling men in the tomb tell the women to remember, to recall into the present what Jesus said to them in Galilee. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. In remembering those words, the women are empowered to then go and tell others. Tell others that Jesus is risen from the dead. Let us do likewise. Let us recall into our present this reality that Jesus died and was raised on the third day. And remembering these words, recalling Jesus risen into our present, believe it changes everything. Believe that it allows us to face the evil and difficulties of this world and not be defeated. And may it impel us to go forth as the women did, to share this good news with all, and to serve all in Christ's name, that the world by his love may be transformed. And so our call this day is to not search for the living among the dead, for Jesus has risen. And with him, we are raised to the divine life. And so let us go forth, set free by God's love. For God's love is stronger than any power of this world. God's love is strong enough even to defeat death itself. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Alleluia, and thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.